Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening. On this program, we try to emphasize the truth. We have all these different churches out here teaching different things. 2 plus 2 can't equal 4, and 2 plus 2 can't equal 5 at the same time. They both can't be right. One or the other is right. Either it's 4 or it's 5. And another thing that especially applies to the topic we picked out for tonight is 2 plus 2, once it's equal to 4, once we establish that, it's not going to change. It can't change. You say, why am I bringing up these silly illustrations? Well, we have all these churches out here teaching different things, and yet these churches, in effect, say everybody's right. You can teach all these different things in religion and still be right. That's just like saying 2 plus 2 equals 4 and 2 plus 2 equals 5 at the same time. And the subject we picked out for tonight, homosexuality, is what we plan to talk about. That's, well, we all know what the Bible says on it, and all the churches were opposed to it, if you go back, say, 100 years ago. But something has changed in the last 20 years, and now many churches are saying it's okay to be a homosexual. They even perform gay wedding ceremonies in their churches, and their preachers perform these ceremonies. They used to understand that 2 plus 2 equals 4, but somehow they think the answer has changed. But God still says the same thing. Let me read Romans 1. First of all, I'm going to read verse 24. It says, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, we're leading up to verse 26 and 27. I suggest to you that verse 26 is talking about what we call lesbians. Let me read 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And then verse 27, talking about gay men. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. The Bible is very clear that this is a sin. The Old Testament calls it an abomination. We're going to talk about one of those passages in a minute. Homosexuality is always wrong. You can't, outside of marriage, it's wrong, it's sin, and you can't make it right. You can't sanctify it by having two gay men get married. That's wrong. Homosexuality is wrong in any shape, form, or fashion, and we need to oppose it with our very being, because God, through His Word, does the same thing. Perhaps you're a member of a church that in the last 10 or 20 years has voted to accept gay marriage, homosexuality. Huh. I wouldn't want to be a part of a church like that. You know, the Presbyterian USA Church did that about a year ago. I hear the Methodist Church is about to vote to accept gay marriage. The Episcopal Church did it a long time ago. It's a shame. It's not only a shame and bad when the people of the world do it, but when people who claim to be believers and followers of Christ accept homosexuality and say that it's okay when the Bible is so clearly against it. Perhaps you have a question or a comment about this topic or any other Bible topic. Call us at 1-877-655-6755. The lines are open if you'd like to call us. 1-877-655-6755. The Bible is clear. Homosexuality is wrong. Romans 1, 26 and 27. You know, sometimes homosexuals say, but we're born that way. We can't help it. That's not true. Romans 1, 26 and 27 didn't just say homosexuality was a sin. It said it was unnatural. It's unnatural. There's a lot of sins out there. They're not all unnatural. For example, it's a sin to steal food. But the desire for food is natural. That comes naturally to a man. And when he steals to satisfy his desire for food, his hunger, he is committing a sin, but he's not doing something unnatural as far as desiring food. But the Bible calls this sin, homosexuality, unnatural. When a woman desires a woman, that's unnatural. A man desires a man, that's unnatural. They're going against nature. I hate to be crude, but we can tell by the body parts that this is not the way it's intended. The Bible is clear on this. It's not natural. Nobody's born that way. They don't have to be that way. It's a choice, just like any other sin. God never calls something you don't have a choice in the matter a sin. Never calls it a sin. He says this is a sin. You have a choice. It's unnatural. Don't use the excuse that you're born that way. People that are this way have chosen to be this way, contrary to God's wishes. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. We mentioned gay marriage. What about gay marriage? Sometimes people will say, God, Jesus never said anything about it. Well, oh yes, He did. In Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, Have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause God shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Now, in the beginning, when God ordained, God instituted marriage, it says in the very beginning that He made them male and female. They're to leave their parents and become twain, one flesh. That's talking about the sexual union. It's male and female. Not male and male, not female and female. Male and female. That's the way God instituted marriage, and that's the way God intends for marriage to be. I like this cutesy little saying, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It makes the point. I mentioned that the Old Testament also condemns homosexuality. If you have your Bibles, turn to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call. We had a call come in a while ago, but they must have dropped off. Of course, a lot of our callers may be in the car when they call, and so maybe they went out of cell phone range. But the lines are open, 877-655-6755, if you have a Bible question or comment about this topic, homosexuality, or any other Bible topic. We said the Old Testament condemned homosexuality. Let me read Leviticus 20, verse 13. It says, If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So if a man were to lie with a man, as he lies with a woman, and we know what that means, lies with her or him sexually, then this verse says it's an abomination. God will not tolerate it. In one sense, it's like any other sin. It'll cause you to be lost if you don't repent of it. And in that sin, it's not worse than any other sin because you can repent and be forgiven. But it is a sin. Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let anybody mislead you into thinking that a person could practice this sin, possibly under the guise of gay marriage, and think that they're going to be right with God. The very opposite of that is true. It is a sin. In the Old Testament, it was called an abomination. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament put it, in effect, in the same category as having, and I hate to even say this, it's so terrible to have to even say this, in the same category as having sexual relations with an animal. Let me go to a call, and we'll get back to that. Mike from New Mexico, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, if you would, please, read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, and comment on that. And I guess my curiosity is, do you think that he's speaking to the apostles? So I'll take your answer and comments offline.
Mike, thank you for your call. I'll read that, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11.
Right. Bye.
First of all, let me read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, and I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. It says, Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And so this passage condemns homosexuality along with a number of other sins, and it says that people that commit these sins, including homosexuality, sodomy, will not inherit the kingdom of God. You might say, well, why did God mention it twice? Well, if you study the Greek words here, the first time that it's mentioned, and in the old King James, it has the word effeminate. That's talking about the gay man. Now, we can see the stereotypical gay man acts effeminate, doesn't he? Well, this in the newer translation is talking about, or is translated homosexual, and is talking about the one who acts effeminate. He's the one that relationship between two gays, the men. He's the one that takes on the feminine role. He acts effeminate. He takes on the sort of like the female role, even though he's a man. Then in the last one that says sodomite, that's talking about the one in the gay relationship who takes on the male role. He doesn't act too much like we think of the stereotypical homosexual. He doesn't act effeminate. That's because in the relationship, he's in a relationship with another man, homosexual relationship, the gay relationship, he's taking on the male role. Well, God mentions it twice in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, because he's condemning both roles. Both the one who takes on the male role, the more aggressive one, the one that acts like the male in the relationship, and also he's condemning the one that takes on the feminine role, the one that is passive and submits to the other, that's also condemned. Now, verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." This verse tells us that homosexuals can quit their sin. Paul is talking to these Corinthians and says, some of you were homosexuals before you were converted, but you're not anymore. It's past tense. Such were some of you. In other words, they were homosexuals before they became Christians, but when they became Christians, when they were washed by the blood of Christ, they quit being homosexuals. We have a lot of homosexuals today say, we can't quit. We can't quit. But these homosexuals did quit. It was a sin. They chose to commit this sin, and when they became a Christian, they quit the sin. Just like any other sin, you have to quit it if you want to be a faithful Christian. David from Seattle, Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, how's it going? I knew when the angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy because of that same reason. Where the guy said, hey, let the two guys come out because we want to lay with them. But at the same time, all that's wrong, and it reads to the Bible that's wrong, and there's no sin greater than another sin. But my thing is, with me judging them, wouldn't I be wrong? Even though I know it's wrong in the Bible and I see them doing it, it isn't my place to tell them, hey, you know, you shouldn't do that. Right?
You know, in John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So the kind of judgment, David, that's condemned in the Bible, and David, there's a lot of static, so I'm going to let you go off the air right now. The kind of judgment that's condemned in the Bible is judging according to appearance. But when somebody admits they're gay, you know they're gay, you're judging righteous judgment when you tell them in a friendly and kind way that the sin they're involved in will cause them to be lost. Not only is it not wrong to do such, not wrong to say this is wrong, it's required in some instances. I'm looking at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. It says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at that hand. In other words, we see somebody in sin, but we don't love their soul enough to warn them, then not only are they going to be lost because they didn't repent, we're going to be lost too. Their blood will be required at our hand. So when we see this kind of sinful activity, homosexuality, or any other kind of such like sin, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, that says a person can't go to the kingdom of heaven because of this, our duty is to warn them, else their blood will be required at our hand. We need to perform our duties, and that's one of the things we're doing tonight on this radio program. Glenn from Alexandria, Louisiana. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Oh, yes, sir. Do we have a good reception, Pastor?
It sounds like we have a good connection, Glenn.
Okay, very good. Just kind of as a spinoff, and I agree that homosexuality is definitely a sin. In the passage about the effeminate, also that this is people who are effeminate that may be going the wrong way, certainly not Jesus' way, and into hell. I think that when Bruce Jenner decided to change his gender, that is, in a sense, almost like transvestite, and it's almost, in a sense, as the effeminate. And furthermore, now that there's transgender bathrooms that are trying to matriculate into the United States, I believe that that's a sin against nature as well. Anyway, that's my comment, Pastor. I'll be listening to your reply on the radio, sir.
Thank you, Glenn. I can't imagine why anybody would even want to think about doing what Bruce Jenner is doing. It's just absolutely absurd. Gary from Arkansas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Good night. I got two. First, me and my wife talking about this yesterday. I agree with homosexuality. It's a sin, and there's no dispute. And we come up, okay, what about a person that is born with both sexual organs? What is that deal?
Well, I think that the doctors, it could be that the scientists and doctors who want people to accept homosexuality have overblown that and make it appear like there's more cases like that than not. Now,
yeah,
let me mention to you.
Okay.
You have the X and Y chromosomes in the body, right?
Right.
You can tell by the X and Y chromosomes if a person is male or female, right? Every time. It's 100% accurate.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Okay?
All right, so whichever is the chromosome would determine the sex, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, that clears that up. I got another question, too. We're talking about when you die. All right, if you're saved, do you sleep until Christ comes back and has the judgment on Resurrection Day, or do you go to heaven when you die that instant?
Gary, we don't have time to go into it in detail tonight because we only have about 7 minutes left in the program.
Okay.
But what I want to refer you to is I want you to turn to the book. I want you to turn to Luke. Okay?
Okay. All right.
And I'm turning to Luke chapter 16, beginning at about verse 19, and read through the end of the chapter. This is a story, not a parable, but a story about a rich man and Lazarus. And when they died, they went to Hades, and there were two compartments in Hades. One was the comfort part, and one was the torment part.
Okay.
And that's where people go. The righteous will go to the comfort part of torment. Remember, Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," so that would be another name for it.
Yeah.
The wicked go to the torment part of Hades, and they await the judgment day. And you'll know where you're going. You know your eternal destiny, though you're not there yet. On the judgment day, all the people in the comfort part will be sent to heaven, and then all the people in the torment part of Hades will be sent to the bad place, H-E-L-L. Revelation 20, at the end of the chapter, says that that's when Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. So Hades still exists today and will exist until the judgment day. And so that's what happens to people right now when they die until the judgment day. Does that make sense,
Luke, Gary? Yeah, Luke 16, what?
Verses 19 through 31, the last half of that chapter.
Okay, thank you very much, and y'all have a blessed night.
Thank you, Gary, for your call. Now, we were looking at back in the Old Testament, and I mentioned that homosexuality is condemned in the same breath as bestiality. And that puts it in a bad light, doesn't it? Let me read that. Leviticus 18, 22 and 23 says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion." And so a man lying with another man sexually, or a woman lying with another woman sexually, is not only a sin. In the Old Testament, it's compared to lying down sexually with an animal, man or woman. That's how bad it is. And so, this is a terrible sin. The Bible condemns it puts it into the same category as having sex with an animal. I hate to even say that, but we got to tell the truth to try to get people to stop this terrible sin, and we got to try to do our very best to turn this country away from accepting this sin. Roger from Northern Virginia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Two comments. One, I don't think we've realized the culture that Paul was talking to. You're talking about a Roman era where homosexuality was accepted. There wasn't a debate about it. He was talking to the Christians to pull away from that lifestyle. The second comment is that I've talked with many homosexuals because I'm a truck driver, and debating with them about whether or not you're born that way, you're going to lose that battle because they're going to believe what they want to believe. But what you sometimes may have to do is tell them, look, we're all born with a sin nature. Jesus says we have to be born again. So therefore, we have to realize whatever our sin is, that nature is not going to be changed until the Spirit of God takes a hold of us and we submit to it.
Roger, thank you for your call.
Okay.
We don't have time to go into a lot of detail about what Roger said, but I will say this. It is true that even if a person were born that way, they would have to abstain because of sin. I don't believe they are born that way, and I believe Romans 1, 26 and 27, which calls it unnatural, and 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, that tells people they have to change, teach that they're not born that way. But if they were, they still could not practice the sin. For example, I was born, I mean, once I reach the puberty, you might say, a normal man is born with a desire for a woman. Does that mean I can go out and have sexual relations with any woman that looks pretty to me or anything like that? No, I have to fight that natural inclination, that natural desire, and limit myself to relations with my wife. And that's what I do. Because I must submit myself to the will of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 27, that he has to buffet his body and keep it under subjection, lest he himself would become a castaway. He could have been lost if he didn't keep his body under subjection. He's probably talking about these natural desires. He keeps those natural desires under subjection and doesn't go out there and fulfill them. It's the same with a person that's a homosexual. He has got a perverted mind. He's perverted his mind somehow, and I have no doubt that many of these homosexuals, through perversion, actually desire the same sex. But they got to fight that inclination. They got to fight that desire. They cannot practice that until they're able to turn their mind back around, and that may take a while, to turn their mind back around and develop a desire, again, for the opposite sex, which is the way they were born. Until that time, they're going to have to fight that sin and abstain from what their desire would tell them to do. We appreciate so much you listening tonight. Let me read 1 Corinthians 1, 9 through 10 before we go off the air. It says, and I'm reading this from the Simple English New Testament. It says, we also know this, the law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, unholy, not religious, father killers, mother killers, murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and those that break promises. These and other things are against the healthy teaching as found in the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he trusted to me. So this verse in 1 Timothy 1 condemns homosexuality. The New American Standard Version of this verse says homosexuals. The New King James says sodomites. The Living Bible says homosexuals. Another New Testament passage that has homosexuality in a long list of other sins, this is saying that these people cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know, homosexuality is just a form of fornication. And Revelation 21 verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving, the fornicators and so forth, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone.